Now let's read the passage of Scripture that Paul has written to the Corinthians, his second letter. And we find this, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all these things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Some time ago, there was a shepherd trying to find grass for his sheep. And this was in an arid place. And as he was leading the sheep from one patch of grass to another, he picked up a stone and he threw it. He threw it into one of the caves, a number of caves in that area. And when he threw it into the cave, he heard the sound of breaking pottery. And he went to check it out. And he went into the cave and he found sealed pottery, pots and utensils that were sealed. And he had broken one with a stone, and there were many of them around. And it was the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls that took place in about 1947 or 8. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, those pots weren't really that impressive. I mean, just clay pots. But inside of these pots was the Word of God. In fact, the complete book of Isaiah in these that were copied before Christ had been born. And so they were old and they were priceless. They were treasures. And in this we see we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And I want to use that to illustrate what this is. Because the vessel that is spoken of here, even in this text, the vessel is not intended to be a centerpiece. It's intended to protect something of greater value. You might think of it as going to the grocery store and buying your favorite food. They put it in this plastic bag and you take it home. Well, you're not serving the plastic bag for lunch. In fact, the plastic bag often is thrown away or simply used to wrap up garbage. The plastic bag is totally incidental of its own. It's to protect what's inside it. And that's the case here. Those clay pots, those clay jars that were sealed had inside of them the treasure of Scripture, God's very Word. Some of the earliest copies of God's Word that is available to us is in those Dead Sea Scrolls. So they're priceless documents. But here we have the same idea in this passage. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the vessel. We are the clay pot, the clay jar. We are not the treasure. We are the container of the treasure. resides in us. Now, what the treasure is, you look at the first part of this chapter. The light that shines out of darkness. That's part of the treasure in verse 6. These characteristics of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, as it's mentioned in here, that is the treasure, and we are the container. That idea is important to us. We maybe like to think that we are the thing that should be in the centerpiece of our dinner table. We are the centerpiece of our own lives, or perhaps another person that is very dear to you is the centerpiece of your life. But you don't usually see, well, maybe there is a few occasions where you might see something old, an old container in the centerpiece of a table for a banquet, say. But usually it's flowers, you know. It's not wilted one. I mean, that's always beautiful. It's always on display. Well, this earthen vessel is not the centerpiece. It's the protection for what is really valuable, the treasure. And that is God's word. And that is how the light that shines upon us from God. And that enriches us. That actually is the useful thing. The other is very, very common. And we are the common part. The treasure, of course, is greater than the container. So what affects the earthen vessel? Now, there's a lot of things in here in this passage that affects that earthen vessel. You take a look at some of these things. Affliction. The affliction. It says, let's see. Afflicted in every way. Well, we have to deal with that. Affliction. We're perplexed. Those are characteristics. Those things happen to us. We're persecuted. We're struck down. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Now, keep in mind that this is primarily talking, Paul is talking about what happened to him and those who were traveling with him. And to illustrate that, he was stoned. So imagine all of the scars that he had on his body. He was stoned and outside of the town and then brought back. He woke up. They thought he was dead, and he regained consciousness and went back in town. In all of his travels, he had all of these things happen to him. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked a couple of times. All of these things that came to him. But in all of these difficult things, these trials and these this feeling, this affliction, this sense of being crushed and perplexed and persecuted, struck down and so on, all of these befell him. They may befall us too. They may happen. But there's something else about those things. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're not completely destroyed. We are afflicted. There is a limitation to that. And I believe God has limited that so that the purpose, our purpose, may be achieved. Remember, it's what's inside the vessel that is crucial. And so the inside of the vessel that we are, it's what's inside that is crucial. That's the eternal part, as we find later in the passage. But there is perplexity. We don't have all the answers. Paul didn't have all the answers. He was perplexed, but not despairing. There's a limitation to these afflictions. And these things affect the body. They probably affect our thinking from time to time as well. Our emotions are definitely involved in this as well, as they were with the Apostle Paul. Paul was persecuted. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We may have friends forsake us. We may have all kinds of relationship issues that are that hurt us and so on. But we're not forsaken. It is not as if we are totally abandoned by the Lord. And yet Jesus on the cross said, "Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? If anybody could say that they were forsaken, it would have been Jesus. Because our sins were dumped upon him when he was sacrificed, when he was the sacrifice for them on the cross. Struck down, not destroyed. It isn't always easy being a clay pot. In fact, the clay pot probably deteriorates pretty fast if it's given rough treatment. And so Paul could say, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. So closely was he connected with the Lord Jesus and with the ongoing persecution that was aimed at Jesus. And when he took on the name of Jesus, it landed on him too. The physical parts. Carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. These issues, these things, all of this trouble. There's a reason for that, and the result of that is so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. It isn't just because God is cruel and wants to hurt us. The ultimate goal here, and it's mentioned in this, is that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body constantly, delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Well, Jesus said those who follow him will be required to deny himself, right? Take up their cross and follow him. Well, the prospect of that is, I mean, a parade is a parade, but you just don't walk around carrying a cross and being persecuted all the time. This isn't something perhaps that we would have in the top of our priority list in terms of our experiences. Delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that, as it says, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. You get in these circumstances where it's difficult to understand, difficult to accept the fact that something like a horrible thing happened. Well, this is one of those principles here. The ultimate bottom line is that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Death works in us, life in them. Paul is saying, this is our experience. We're enduring all of this, and we're facing death all the time. In order for you to have life, in order for you to understand this treasure yourself. Then he says, he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. There is limits that God puts on these afflictions and these things so that God's glory may be seen. All these things are for your sakes, the passage goes on, so that the grace which is spreading more and more to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Now, in this sentence, we have a great promise. All of these things happen for our sake, so that the grace which is spread to more and more people will be the cause of many to thank the Lord and to give glory to him. Now, we don't like all these things. We don't like these troubles. We don't like this perplexity and these... It seems like we can't figure things out sometimes, and it feels like all there is pain, and we go through all of these struggles. And we say, we want an end to this. We want life the way we like it. But the whole purpose of it is not simply for us to have pleasure. It is so that more and more people will be brought to the point where they are able to give thanks and glorify God with what he has done. The Apostle Paul, in a way, maybe like a whipping boy for for those who need to receive Christ as Savior. That the beating comes on this person of the Lord Jesus, so that the grace that comes from him will abound to other people, and the glory of God will be the result. That's the condition in which the Apostle Paul writes what's on our shirts today. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Difficulty. Yeah, we have difficulties. We have all kinds of these perplexities and all of these things that we endure. Don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. Because though the outer body is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. And it may come as a shock, but it may be the afflictions, it may be the perplexities, it may be the persecutions, and it may be the struck down, and it might be carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus in our own experience that produces some of the great revelation of to people that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, that he is the only Savior. And these things that come about upon us that we don't like, we would just as soon avoid them. In fact, we would take steps to avoid it if we knew what they were. And yet God intends for these things, especially in the life of the Apostle Paul, it's obvious because Jesus promised that it would happen. But in us, these things often occur so that we might ultimately give greater glory to God and to reach other people with how he is enriching us. You don't think of these experiences as being profitable, as being enriching, as being nourishing for us, as being helpful for us, as being something that will produce something really good. We don't think of them that way. We think of them, Lord, what are you doing? Why me? And then we come up with things, well, everything happens for a reason. I'm still working on that one to see, okay, what is that? In this case, there is a reason. There is a reason that God is working in us, not simply through our pleasure sensors, not through life on our own terms. It is God working through us to accomplish his great purpose. And that purpose goes far beyond our death day. It is eternal, as it says later on. In verse 18, we look not on at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our outer man is decaying. That clay pot is deteriorating. The movement of dust will erode it. The throwing of a stone can break it. There's so many things that can happen to this clay pot that God has made us. And yet the contents is what is eternal, life-giving. And we engage in that too. We are already engaged in that. I brought something to show you. This box is over 30 years old. I've had something in it. Now, this isn't that old, but I'm going to need that. Here it is. A spoon. Does it look black to you? Black spoon. There's no other spoon on the face of the earth that matches this one. It's old, and the reason it's black is because it's got silver oxide on it. It's rust, and there's a word on it. It wouldn't mean anything to you. It refers to a place that none of you have ever seen. I bought this about 34 years ago. Could you put that here for us? Good. Okay. Now you might step back. We're doing renovations, so if something drastic happens, maybe we can fix that. Now the idea of this, this doesn't work, I'm going to be really embarrassed. But the Lord sometimes puts us through a process that is very difficult for us. Sometimes we don't know how we're ever going to get through. We have crises. We have all kinds of different ones. Like Paul. Afflicted. Perplexed. Persecuted. Bearing in his body all the time the death of the Lord Jesus. We do that too. But we don't lose heart. But the outer man is decaying. What happens to the inner one? What happens to that unique relationship that we have with God? What happens when he gets a hold of that? What happens when we're exposed to all of these difficulties and so on, that somehow the Lord singles us out in order to go through difficult times and painful ones? How is it that God does that? Why would he do that? 30 years is a long time to accumulate all this stuff. You know what? If I take this out of here, I got to get my hands in this stuff, right? Do you ever feel like maybe God's putting you into something like this? Do you know that that's in the scripture too? Isaiah talks about this. Talking about the things that we walk through. And in fact, it's in a hymn, and I was thinking about that hymn too yesterday. The reason that we walk through those times is because God wants to take care of the dross, so that the gold will be refined. What is that hymn? A firmer foundation. That last part, that one stanza. He wants to refine us. And isn't that kind of what it's talking about here in our verse? He wants to renew us day by day. It's not necessarily an easy and simple and painless process. It can be difficult for us. We can think that maybe this is costing us quite a bit. And maybe it will. Maybe it will cost us. Maybe we'll pay a price that we were maybe not completely willing to pay. And yet, he wants to clean us. He wants us to be a clean vessel. He wants to clean out the dross, all the junk, all the rust and stuff. Because that's the eternal part. The treasure in the pot. That's the part that is necessary. And the rest of it, that's temporary. Like a bag, the bag that the groceries are in. The pot that the scroll is in. That's who we are. I expect it to be all done. This is kind of like I am a lot of the time, I guess. I need to be in there longer. But it's coming off. You can read the word in it now. I'm going to leave it in there. And later on, when the tacos are consumed, we'll look at it. And expect to be amazed. How refined are we? That treasure in the earthen vessel. That's the part that's renewed. Are we messing it up? Are we getting in the way? Are we enduring the things? Are we trying to avoid the things that produce it? Well, the lesson today is we are being renewed day by day. And sometimes it's through a process like this. But every day he's doing that. And it's not simply that we get to be a centerpiece. It's because the glory comes to God. That is our purpose. The teen Sunday school class looked at a verse having to say that very thing this morning. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We expect great things from you, even though we don't always like the circumstances or even the things that produce it. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would glorify yourself in our experience, in the clay pots that we are. I pray that you would continue to renew us day by day. Help us not to resist that, but to engage that and appreciate it so that much more thanksgiving would be given to abound to the glory that is yours. For we pray it in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.